Hey, how you doing? It's Pastor Jay. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I pray that this word blesses your spirit, empowers you wherever you are, whether it be your home, your workplace, the gym, or even if you're riding in the car. Look, let's advance the kingdom by spreading this word with whoever you come in contact with. That is my ultimate goal, is to spread the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ. I love you, and once again, here's today's message. Be blessed.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and he kept you in the rain today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So how many of you all are just thankful that God's goodness has kept you? Amen? Amen. We can do better than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give God some praise for our praise team. Didn't they sing phenomenal? Y'all did a phenomenal job. It sounded like a choir up there today. Amen. Thanks to our sound tech and our musicians and our choir. I'm going to keep putting that in the atmosphere until we have a choir up there. It's going to be packed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I am thankful for today. I'm thankful to be here and thankful to be alive. Amen, because God could have took me out this week, amen, but he kept me here, amen, because God has a purpose for each and everybody's life. He has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for my life. So God has a purpose for your life, amen? Amen. So we are in our Church Rules series. You can take a seat. We are in our Church Rules series. Everybody say Church Rules. Church Rules. Hallelujah. So, has this series been eye-opening to you? Amen. It's been a little bit different. We've been doing a little bit different things. It's been eye-opening. Hallelujah. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Hallelujah. And once you get there, if you would, jump to your feet. Jump to your feet, and if you want to look on the screen, you can do so too. You can look on the screen. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Hallelujah. Church rules. Week 1 was, thou shalt only throw stones if. Week 2 was, thou shalt not be a Pharisee. And week 3, we're going to see what we're talking about. Amen. So everybody at Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5. And let me read this for the sake of time, because I want to do like a little interview with you all after, because next Sunday is 24 years. Hallelujah. They said we weren't going to make it 6 months, and here we are 24 years later. Amen. And I believe God is getting ready to take us to another dimension in ministry. That's what they say. But we're more focused on what God says. We're more focused on what God says for this house. And God has some great things for this house. God has called this house to be effective. We're not going to be an ineffective church. We're not going to be a blockbuster church. What's a blockbuster church? A blockbuster church is a church that does not want to change. Because Blockbuster had the opportunity to buy Netflix, and guess what happened? They said, nah, nobody not going to stream no movies. And guess what happened? There's only one Blockbuster today. And it's in Alaska, right? But how many people have Netflix on their TV just in this room in here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everybody in here got Netflix on their TV. Even mom has Netflix on her TV. So we're not going to be a blockbuster church where we just stay stagnant and we don't be effective. God has called this house to be effective. And we're going to talk about that today. All right. I'm trying to get off on a tangent. Trying to get into the word already. And this is what it says. It says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation. And it says this: refuse to be a critic full of bias towards others, and judgment will not be passed on you. For you'll be judged by the same standard that you've used to judge others. The measurement you use on them will be used on you. Why would you focus on the flaw in someone else's life and yet fail to notice the glaring flaws of your own? How could you say to your friend, let me show you where you're wrong, when you're guilty of even more? You're being hypercritical and a hypocrite. First, acknowledge your own blind spots and deal with them, and then you'll be capable of dealing with the blind spot of your friend. Amen. I want to use for a topic this morning, thou shalt not judge your neighbor. Thou shalt not judge your neighbor. Let's look from God in prayer. God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you for who you are. I pray that you move Lester Bell Jr. out of the way and that you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me to your people. I pray, Lord God, that this message goes forth boldly, Lord God, and goes forth with clarity, and that your people will be able to apply it to their lives. So, God, we thank you. We honor you for this time, this space, this moment that we are in. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 As you sit down, say, thou shalt not judge your neighbor. Thou shalt not judge your neighbor. Today, we are living in a world where people who represent God are beating others over the head with their Bible. We live in a world where people are beating people who are homosexual over the head with the Bible. We live in a world where people are beating people over the head with their Bible who doesn't agree with them because they got the wrong clothes on. We are living in a generation where we are not being effective as ambassadors for Christ. I'm gonna go ahead and say this. I may get some flag behind it, but I believe in a lot of churches, people who say they represent Christ, they don't. And what does that make them? That makes them ineffective. That makes them a hypocrite. And so what happens is we are so focused on somebody else's flaws that we forget that we have flaws on our own. We're so focused on what somebody else has done wrong that we forget how much we have done wrong. And if you all remember in the first week of this series, Thou Shalt Only Throw Stones If, we visited the story where the men were trying to stone the woman who was caught in adultery. And so they were trying to stone her because they were trying to go by the law, because the law did say that someone caught in adultery was supposed to be stoned. But Jesus wanted to take a different approach. He wanted to take an approach of grace, because his approach was grace and his identity was truth. So he wanted to take an approach of grace. And so what he did was he said, the person who doesn't have sin, throw the first stone. And guess what happened? There were no stones thrown, because the oldest from the youngest left in order from the oldest to the youngest, because they had a convicted conscience. And so a lot of times what church is for people, people don't even want to come to church because they feel like they're going to get stoned as soon as they walk through the door. Well, I haven't been to church in a few years, or I don't behave like a church person should behave. I don't have the proper church clothes. I don't look the part, so I can't go to church. And when we have that mindset, see, when people have that mindset, it really stops them from really receiving what God has for them, because they have the wrong mindset when it comes to church. And I believe this house is a house of love. This house is a house of peace. This house is a house of joy. This house is a house of truth. We're founded on truth, because the scripture says, our base scripture says this, for God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so if we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth, then that means that we can't look at the outward appearance of people and judge them. Because a lot of times we look at the outward appearance and we miss what's happening on the heart, in the heart. Amen. We look at somebody's behaviors on the outside and we miss what's happening in their heart. And so it's important for us to not judge our neighbor. So listen to this. God can use anyone he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, to proclaim the truth of who he is. Did you hear me? God can use anyone he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, to proclaim the truth of who he is. So if God can use anyone at any time, then how should we view our neighbor? If God can use anyone at any time, how should we view our neighbor? Number one, we should view our neighbor as made by God. Made by God. We should view our neighbor as made by God. Thou shalt view thy neighbor as made by God. So this is what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. male and female, he created them. See, most times we want to view the behavior of someone as who that person is. We want to view the behavior of someone as who that person is. We want to say, okay, well, you've done this behavior, so that's who you are. But the scripture says that we're made in the image and the likeness of God. And so if we're made in the image and likeness of God, what are we made in the image and likeness of God of? It is our spirit. Our spirit is flawless. Our spirit is perfect. But in order for us to be brought into that reality, we have to get into the Word of God in order to understand who we are. And so when we get into the Word of God and understand who we are, then we can see who other people are as well. Because when God shows us who we are, he shows us who other people are as well. And so that means that we shouldn't look at people based on outer appearance. We shouldn't look at people based on their behavior. Because when we look at people based on their behavior, we will miss really the heart of the matter. We will miss the heart of the matter. So when someone does something that we do not agree with, we oftentimes become critical of that person. When somebody does something that we don't agree with, we become critical of that person. And so why is it in our nature to become critical of people? Because we like to compare, and we like to feel as if we're doing just fine. We're doing just good. But there's sometimes where we miss the mark as well. And so God has given us grace when we miss the mark. Every morning there's new mercies for you. Every morning there's new mercies for you. So if every morning there's new mercies for you, then that means there's new mercies for everybody else as well. But most times we want to say, well, it's not no mercy for you. I'm not going to show you no mercy. And see, and this is what the Pharisees were doing. See, they were doing all the minute things of the law, like paying tithes and all of that. But they was missing the mark on showing mercy to others because they wanted to stone people. They wanted to say, Jesus, you shouldn't be hanging out with these tax collectors and publicans. Why Jesus hanging out with Zacharias? Why you tell them to get out the tree? Why? So it's important for us to understand who God is. And when we understand who God is, then we can understand who people are. We can understand who people are. So there will be multiple times when someone does something that we do not agree with, but we must view that person as still made by God. Amen. See, a lot of times when somebody does something we don't agree with, we initially say, that's the devil. The devil in them. They got the demons in them. Yeah. And they cast the demons out of them. They got so many devils in them. But I believe we give the devil too much power. Yes. We give the devil so much power that he doesn't even have. Because when Jesus died, he went and took all power from the grave. And so that same resurrecting power that's in Jesus, that rose Jesus from the dead, is in you as well. So that means you have power. So that means that the enemy doesn't have power over you. Because if the enemy had power over you, then where would God's power come in at? And so the enemy does not have power. See, we can't label people as the devil. A devil in them, the devil in this. And we do this, the devil in our finances, the devil in my relationship. Well, who let him in? Did you open the door? Hey, devil, come in my finances. No, it was some poor choices you made that made your life go in that direction. It wasn't the devil who made you do that. And see, a lot of times we want to blame the devil instead of looking at the root. Because when we look at the root, then we understand where it came from. And the root is within. See, you never see the root of a tree on the outside. You see the root. The root goes deep. It goes deep down. And so it's not about the enemy being in anything, because he's not in anything. Now, he may get in your mind and make you feel like he's in something, but he has no power. He has no power. He's a defeated foe. So a lot of times, listen to this, a lot of times we disqualify people from the love of God in our minds. Somebody does something bad, boom, you disqualified. You disqualify from the love of God. You pass judgment on them. You can't receive the love of God because you've done this bad thing over here. You've done this sin. I caught you in adultery. Yeah. Well, where were you to catch me in adultery? I caught you doing this. Well, where were you to catch me doing this? You know, so a lot of times we judge people based on the wrong things. We judge based on superficial.
That's right.
See, the scripture tells us that we can judge, but we're not supposed to judge based on the outward appearance. We're not supposed to judge based on the superficial. See, we're supposed to judge with mercy and truth. So if God has allowed mercy and truth to come to you, you should allow mercy and truth to come to everybody else as well. Because the same mercy and truth that came to you is the same mercy and truth that will come to them.
Amen.
And so we can't go around labeling people and disqualifying them. See, when we disqualify people, we disqualify ourselves.
Yeah.
Because the scripture says this in John chapter 3, verse 17, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent his son into the world that the world might be saved through him." So why are you condemning? Are you above God? See, that I think that's what we do in church a lot of times. We become above God. We feel in our minds, well, they did this wrong. And so you condemn. You disqualify from the love of God. See, we disqualify them because we take a wrong view of the whole situation. We disqualify people because we take a wrong view of the situation. We look at it from a different angle instead of looking at it from the eyes of mercy, looking at it from the eyes of grace, looking at it from the eyes of truth. And so when your mind has been conditioned to truth, when your heart has been conditioned to truth, then you look at things differently. You look at people with the eyes of love. You don't look at people with the eyes of fear and hate. You look at the people with the eyes of love, because we're all made in the image and the likeness of God. So we have to stop disqualifying people from God, because God never called you to disqualify people from his love. God never called you to disqualify people from his love. Like, he gave you a list. All right, I want you to focus on this list of people. They do something wrong, disqualify them. Check, disqualify. Check, disqualify. Well, they didn't share their snacks with me. Disqualified. They didn't let me over in the lane. Check, disqualified. They didn't let me do this. Check, disqualified. And so we disqualify people based on the wrong thing. So God never called you to disqualify people. Because what God can use as a disqualification, he can use it as a qualification to help you reach people.
Amen.
What? Amen. What God can use as a disqualification, he can use it as a qualification to reach people. You don't believe me? The Bible talks about it. Let's go to Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. See, oftentimes the behavior that we deem as bad can set us up to reach those who have done that same behavior. Yep. So a lot of times what happens when we get in church, right? We get in church, we get saved, we forget about our past. We forget about what we used to do. We forget about who we used to hang with. We forget about all of these people. And then what if those are people you're supposed to touch? And what if those are people you're supposed to have an impact on? So you can't forget about your past. Now now I'm not saying live in your past, but what I'm saying is when God makes you a new creation, those people in your past, bring them over with you. Bring them over with you into your new life. So Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 7, because I think a lot of times in church we get so saved and then we forget about everything. We become, what's that, amnesia? Is amnesiacs a word? I just made a word up. Amnesiacs. Amnesiacs. We're going to make that word up. Amnesiac. Somebody write that down. We're gonna start a dictionary here, cause I made it. What word did I make up last week? Amnesiacs is a word. Okay. All right. Thank you. They fact check me right quick. I have fact check on the live stream video. Amnesiac. Is it a word? Ding. Yes, it is a word. It's fact check. But what happens is we get saved. And we become a new creation, and we forget about everything we used to do. And then we think we've been saved for all our life.
Yeah.
And then we forget about all the people that were behind us. We forget about all the people we used to hang with. So we think we've been saved all our life. And then when we see that person, instead of loving that person, we say, well, you need to change your life. And here I am beating you over the head with this Bible. But God never called you to beat anybody over the head with the Bible. He never called you to do that. He just called you to love people. The only thing we owe to other people is love.
Amen.
That's what the scripture says. So we owe nothing but love to everybody. Everybody at Acts chapter 9, in verses 1 through 7 says this. During those days, Saul, full of angry threats and rage, wanted to murder the disciples of the Lord Jesus. So he went to Acts the high priest and requested a letter of authorization he could take to the Jewish leaders in Damascus, requesting their cooperation in finding and arresting any who were followers of the way. Saul wanted to capture all of the believers he found, both men and women, and dragged them as prisoners back to Jerusalem. So he obtained the authorization and left for Damascus. So Saul, before his name became Paul, was trying to kill everybody who was a believer in Christ. So he got authorization, he went to the courthouse and got a letter to do just that. So he was about to go and kill everybody. But God had a different thing in mind. So this is what it says in verse 3, part B. It says, just outside the city, a brilliant light flashing from heaven suddenly exploded all around him. Now, could you imagine those who around Saul and y'all see a light just explode? Like, you'll probably be running. You'll probably be running, right? You'll probably be running. I would be running. It's a bomb, right? So bombs, are bombs falling out here? But it says this in verse 4, falling to the ground, he heard a booming voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The men accompanying Saul were stunned and speechless, for they heard a heavenly voice but could not see anyone. Saul replied, who are you, Lord? Look how Saul replied, who are you, Lord? So he knew, see, his spirit was wanting to connect, right? Because he knew who he was talking to. So that says to me that your spirit wants to connect with God, but your behavior is not allowing you to connect with God. See, that's why a lot of times we get behavior and spirit mixed. We get behavior and spirit mixed up. Because a lot of times people come in the doors, they think they got to behave before they get saved. And you don't have to behave before you get saved. That's not scriptural. That's a religious mindset. See, people think I got to get right before I can come. You don't have to get right before you can come to church. You don't have to behave before you can get saved. And so when Jesus, listen to this, when we're going to talk about this, when Jesus was going to pick his disciples, when he went to Matthew was a like, he was treacherous when it came to the tax collection. Like, he was treacherous. He was like, he was taking money. He was, they call it, the scripture says traitorous. So that means that he was like really, really, what's the word I'm looking for? He was really obsessed with his job. So when Jesus called him, Jesus didn't say, well, before you come, behave, get right, get saved, talk to my Father who was in heaven. He said, come, follow me. He said, come, follow me. So that says scripturally that we don't have to behave before we get saved. Amen. And we can belong before we believe. Yeah. All right. So you don't have to behave before you get saved, and you can belong before you believe. See, if we are to go out and really reach the masses, we have to let them know, look, you don't have to behave before you get saved. See, we have to allow God to do the conviction. You're not called to do the conviction. You're not called to condemn nobody. That's not what God called you to do. And so that's why the scripture says that the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few, because the laborers don't know how to talk to the harvest. And so that's why the scripture says to pray that there may be more laborers for the harvest. And so that's why I believe God is allowing us to go through the series called Church Rules, because he wants to change our mindset so that we can go out and get the harvest. Yeah. See, the harvest is out there. The people are out there. It's just up for us to know how to talk to the people, because if we go to the people beating them over the head, they're not going to be in here. But if we go to the people talking to them in love, and our approach is grace and our identity is truth, then we're going to see this place full. So it says this in Acts chapter 9, it says this. It says, the men accompanying Saul were stunned and speechless, for they heard a heavenly voice, but could see no one. Saul replied, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus the victorious, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, where you will be told what you are to do. So Jesus didn't say, well, I want you to behave first before you get saved, Saul. He told him to do what he needed to do. And so let's read verses 10 through 16. Do we have that? Verse 10 through 16. I want to give you all a little context into this. Verse 10 through 16 says this. Living in Damascus was a believer named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling his name Ananias. Yes, Lord, Ananias answered. The Lord said, go at once to the street called Abundance and look for a man from Tarsus named Saul. You will find him at Judah's house. While he was praying, he saw in a supernatural vision a man named Ananias coming to lay hands upon him to restore his sight. So God was showing Saul what was going to happen the whole time. Even though he was blind physically, he wasn't blind spiritually. See, a lot of times when we think people are blind physically, they're not blind spiritually. And so it's important in how we talk to these, how we talk to people, because even though we may see them as blind physically, they may not be blind spiritually. They may be, their spirit may be looking for someone to speak to their spirit, speak to their potential, speak to who is within them, speak to that. Because when you speak to that, you see that. But when you don't speak to that, you won't see that. When you speak to, well, the devil in them and the demon in them and they doing this and they doing that and they sinning and that, and we judging and being hypercritical and we're being, we having bias towards people, then we'll never be able to draw people, because the scripture says, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Yes. So with loving kindness, God has drawn you.
Amen.
It was with loving kindness. It wasn't with fear. It wasn't a fear tactic. Well, if you don't get saved, you're going to bust hell wide open. It wasn't a fear tactic. So we have to get out of that fear tactic mindset when it comes to church. Now, in religion, you get scared because it's about hell and damnation. Mm-hmm. But God is more than hell and damnation. See, God is not just looking for us to live right now just to get to heaven. See, a lot of us have a get-to spiritually. We're just doing right now to get to heaven. So we doing what we think is right now to get to heaven instead of living heaven on earth. Instead of living heaven on earth. So it says this. It says, but Lord, so this is Ananias talking. But Lord, Ananias replied, many have told me about this terrible persecution of those. Let me stop. Many have told me about his terrible persecution of those in Jerusalem who are devoted to you. In fact, the high priest has authorized him to seize and imprison all those in Damascus who call on your name. So Ananias' response was, his behavior is a killer. And you want me to go and heal this man? Like God, like I could see Ananias now like looking like, God, do you really want me to like go and heal this man and pray for this man? Like, God, do you really care about my life right now? Like, I really could see Ananias, because the way he responded, you could just see that anxiety and fear, like, God, really? Like, you want me to go to a killer and heal him? See, the same goes with us. See, we question what God wants us to do, and we miss out on helping a person. We miss out on helping people because we look at their behavior and say, well, their behavior, it doesn't line up with, I think, with their behavior. See, we have this behavior diagram in our mind. So if somebody's behavior doesn't line up with the behavior in our behavior diagram mind, then we really miss out on trying to help win that soul for Christ.
Amen.
So this is what the Lord Yahweh answered him. It says, the Lord Yahweh answered him, arise and go. I have chosen this man to be my special messenger. Now, remember what I said earlier, that God can use whoever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants to proclaim his truth. So he says, arise and go. I have chosen this man to be my special messenger. He will be brought before kings, before many nations, and before the Jewish people to give them the revelation of who I am. And I will show him how much he is destined to suffer because of his passion for me. So wait, so God, what God took as passion and obsession to kill who believed in his name, he used that same passion and obsession to spread the message of Jesus Christ. The same goes for you. The same goes for you. The behavior that you deemed as bad, the behavior that you thought was not good, God can take that same behavior and that same passion and not cause it to disqualify you, but cause it to qualify you for the call.
Amen.
And so God is looking for us to trust him in that. Because when we trust him in that, then God doesn't waste anything. He doesn't waste anything. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he didn't waste anything. He picked it up. They had leftovers, right? And I dislike leftovers. unless it's from Gambino's. Gambino's. Have y'all been to Gambino's? Yes, Gambino's. It's in Fairhope. I'm not a big leftover fan, especially like leftover Thanksgiving food that be in the refrigerator for like 5 days. Yeah, I don't like that leftover. You eat turkey, freezer? No, not me. I'm not a big leftover fan. That's just me. I'm not a big leftover fan. I like fresh food. And she spoiled me over here to like fresh food because she was always cooking. Nah, not too often. Not too often. All right, don't forget where you come from, right? Don't forget where you come from. But listen to this. What if God called you, instead of disqualifying a person based on their behavior, to speak to the potential of that person and to pray for them? What if God called you to do that? How would life change for those that you are connected to? If you said, God, don't allow me to disqualify people. Allow me to pray for people that I think are disqualified from your grace and your love and your mercy. See, it's not up for you to disqualify people. It's just up for you to pray for them and love them. And so when you pray for them and love them, you speak to the potential in them, then you will see that potential fulfilled in the earth realm. But when you speak to the fleshy part, when you speak to the fleshy part of a person, well, you just like your daddy, and you got this like this, and you just like that, and you just like that, then you miss the whole picture. Because a person is looking for their spirit to be encouraged. Because when you encourage, see, when our spirit is encouraged, that's when the scripture really comes applicable to us and it becomes alive for us. Because when our spirit is encouraged, then that means that we have that power that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so we are infused with inner strength. See, encouragement has a way of infusing you with strength. And when it infuses with you with strength, then you feel like you can go and do anything. And we can do anything. We can do anything. So it's not up for you to disqualify a person based on their behavior, because everybody is made by God. Let's go to verses 17 through 19. Acts chapter 9, verse 17 through 19. So just follow along with me. And it says this: Ananias left and found the house where Saul was staying. He went inside and laid hands on him, saying, Saul, my brother, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me to pray for you, that you might see again and be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. All at once, the crusty substance that was over Saul's disappeared, and he could see perfectly. Immediately, he got up and was baptized. After eating a meal, his strength returned. How many immediately's would be in your life if you really went and prayed for people and loved people and spoke to the potential of people? How many immediately's would there be? Because there are people attached to you. I tell you all the time, you're not just attached to me, but there's the people attached to you. And those people that are attached to you, you're supposed to have an impact on their life. See, it's not just for me to just have an impact on your life. You come, you hear a good word, you go home, you feel good for a little bit, and you come back next Sunday, you do the same thing over and over and over again. But no, you're supposed to have an impact on other people's life. And so how many immediately's would be happening in your life if you really spoke to the potential of who a person is? Instead of criticizing people, instead of having bias towards people, how many immediately's would you see? What are you saying by how many immediately's? How many lives would you see changed immediately if you spoke to the potential of somebody? How many souls would you see won for Christ if you spoke to the immediately for somebody? Because the scripture says this, it says immediately he got up and was baptized. So he immediately got up and was baptized. After eating a meal, his strength returned. And so how many people's strength is waiting on you? How many people's strength is waiting on your prayers, waiting on your love, waiting on your invite to church, waiting on your evangelistic approach to Christ and how Christ has changed your life? How many people are waiting on that? Because I believe once we become attuned to truth, once we know who the truth of who God is, the truth of who Jesus is, then we'll know the truth of who we are, and then we'll know who the truth of who everybody else is as well. So we'll speak to that truth, because you're called to be a reconciler. You're called to reconcile people back to Christ. not reconcile people to yourself. You call to reconcile people to Christ. So it's important for you to understand that we can't judge our neighbor because they're made by God. They're made by God. Number two, and we probably won't get really into this until Wednesday night. Thou shalt view thy neighbor as this, made by love. Thou shalt view thy neighbor as made by love. What do you mean? Let me give you some context behind this. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. It's important to view your neighbor as one, made by God, two, made by love. What do you mean made by love? How can a person be made by love? I'm going to give it to you shortly. And this is everyone there? And you need some time? If not, you can look at the screen. And it says this. It says this, time be flying. Do y'all really put 40 minutes on there? Y'all put like 20 minutes on there. 20. Okay. Replace. Replace y'all. No, we're not going to replace y'all. I'm thankful y'all. Thank y'all. Our great team. Thank y'all. Media team. So it says this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 through 10. It says this, those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another, because God is love. So if you're made by God, you're made by love, because God is love. So it says this, everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of him. The one who doesn't love has yet to know God, for God is love. The light of God's love shined within us when he sent his matchless son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love. He loved us long before we loved him. It was his love, not ours. He proved it by sending his son to be the pleasing sacrificial offering to take away our sins. And so, listen to this. While you were difficult to love, he loved you anyway. Amen. And that's how much God loves you. Because while you think it's difficult to love you, God said, I'm going to send my son. And that's me showing you my love in person. That's me showing you my love in action. Because we can say we love God, but not love our fellow brother and sister. And we really deceiving ourselves. And so we have to move from the deception of saying with lip service, I love you, to showing it with action that I love you. Because when we love, when we allow that love to pour to one another, then we allow people to see who God really is. And so people are made by love. We are made by love. We are made by God. So since we're made by love, then that means that we should be flowing from love. We should allow love to flow from our life. Because when love flows from our life, when love flows from like an oasis from our life, then we have power. And we have power to draw, not people to us, but people to Christ.
All right.
Because Scripture says, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. So you can't be mean in love. It's impossible. It's impossible. So you can either be one or the other. You can't say I love you, but you mean, and you talk about me. You can't say I love you, you're not kind to me, because loving kindness work hand in hand together. Love and kindness work hand in hand together. And we're going to talk about that at last Sunday. Thou shalt not be spiritually deep and not love. Because a lot of people spiritually deep, they got a lot of knowledge, they got a lot of know-how, they got a lot of everything. They know the scripture, they know it from Genesis 1 to the last scripture, last word in Revelation, but yet they don't love. And so it's just all void. It's just all void. And so it's important that we be spiritually deep. It's important that we love and not put our focus more on knowledge and being spiritually deep. It's more important that we love, because the greatest among you, the scripture says, the greatest among you shall be your servant. You serve from love, because when you serve, you say, what I desire for you is greater than what I desire. What I desire for you is more important than what I desire for myself. And so serving is important. And so when you are made by God, you are made by love. Listen to this. When you do not look at people with the eyes of love, you do not know God.
Amen.
When you do not look at people with the eyes of love, you don't know God. Because how can you say you love God and hate your brother? So, thank you. How can you love God who you have not seen and hate your brother who you have seen? So how can I say I hate you, but I love God? I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? That's how we think, right? But when I love God, then that means that I must love my neighbor as I love myself. And so if I wouldn't hurt myself, then why would I hurt my neighbor? If I wouldn't talk bad about myself, then why would I talk bad about my neighbor? But a lot of us, we talk bad about ourselves. So that's why it's easy to judge our neighbor. A lot of us are hypercritical of ourselves. That's why it's easy for us to be hypercritical of others, because we're so hypercritical of ourselves. And so we hadn't gone to the root of the matter and seen, okay, why am I hypercritical of myself? Why am I thinking of myself in this way? Why do I feel like this? Why do I allow this root to control my life? Because the root will control. The root will control. What do I mean by the root? See, a horticulturist, they don't look, when they see a tree with bad fruit, they don't say, man, this tree got bad fruit. Let's chop it down from the base. No, they go and check out the root. And so when they check out the root, they get the root healed. Then everything else from the root on up will be healed as well. And so the same goes with us. A lot of us have some childhood roots that hadn't been healed. We brought those into our adult life, and that's why it's easy for us to judge one another. That's why it's easy for us to talk bad about one another, because we hadn't addressed the root. So when we address the root, then the fruit will be healthy. Because when the root is unhealthy, everything else is unhealthy. And it goes to your heart. When you see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So if your heart is bad, then you can put on a facade that you love people, but your mouth is going to speak what you really feel about that person. Your heart is going to really speak what you feel about that person. So it's important that we check our heart, and it's important that we are heart healthy. That series is available on podcast. It is available on the website, the outlines. It is available for you to become heart healthy. And that's not just spiritually, but spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. And I'm going to add another one, relationally. Because a lot of us have some relationships that need to be healed. Amen. And when those relationships, see, healthy relationships are formed by healthy people. Yeah. You can't have an unhealthy relationship with healthy people. It just don't go together. It's like mixing oil and water. So that's why if a person gets in a relationship with somebody and they're not healthy, then they're going to most times sabotage that relationship. They're going to sabotage that relationship because they're not healthy. And so it's important for us to be heart healthy. And how do we be heart healthy? We be heart healthy through love. Hallelujah. So Wednesday night, we will finish this. Amen. My time has gone up. Y'all were having fun, huh?
Yeah.
It was great. But church rules, thou shalt not judge your neighbor. So number one, thou shalt view thy neighbor as what? Made by God. Thou shalt view thy neighbor as made by God. Number two, thou shalt view thy neighbor as made by love. And the last one, we're going to talk about this Wednesday night. Thou shalt view thy neighbor as someone with a purpose from God. Someone with a purpose from God. Hallelujah. Let's give God some praise. Amen. Amen. If you would, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet this morning. Amen. It's important for us to not judge anybody. I don't care what they've done, what they said. Don't allow that to make you pass judgment on them. Because it's not up for us to pass judgment on anybody. Because when Christ came, he came that we may be saved through him. So he didn't come to condemn us. He came that we may be saved. Amen. Let's look from God in prayer. God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you for the word that just went forth. Pray, Lord God, that your people, Lord God, will use it and apply it to their life so that they can be transformed forevermore. We thank you, Lord God, that your people, Lord God, have Christ at the center, Lord God, and that they allow Christ at the center to fill every part of their being. So, God, we thank you for the word. We thank you for every person that is under the sound of my voice. We thank you for every person that has watched this and will watch this in the future.